This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3944, for Thursday, the 14th of September, 2023. Today's show is entitled, Race for the Galaxy. It is hosted by Tuku Tuoroto and is about 16 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is Tuku Tuoroto explains very basics of card game called Race for the Galaxy.
Hello and welcome to the Hacker Public Radio. I'm Tuula Turto and today's episode is about card game called Race for the Galaxy. It is a card game for two to four players, and it's published by Rio Grande Games. Your goal is to build a space imperium, and the player with the most victory points in the end wins. There's also a computer version of the game, which is, I find, somewhat easier to play because it explains what various cards do in more detail. The turn sequence in the game is following. There's a 5 phases: explore, develop, settle, consume, and produce. At the beginning of each turn, every player selects in secret one of those phases, and the selections are revealed simultaneously at the same time. And only the selected phases will be played. The player who made the selection of a phase tends to get a small bonus on that phase. And this offers some tactics in the game. You can follow what the other players are playing, and based on that, select your own phase and hope that the other player selects the another phase that you want to also play during that turn. So, the first phase is the explore. And that's basically just you draw 2 cards and keep 1. You have cards in your hand. And if you have a bonus during this round or during this phase, you can choose to either draw 5 cards and keep 1. This is good for if you know that there's a card that you would like to have. This is one way of searching for that card. Or you can draw 1 additional card and keep 1 additional card. The next phase is the develop phase. Here you place a development card on the play in front of you, picture side upwards. You have to discard cards from your hand that are to cover the cost of the card. Every card has a cost. It ranges from 0 to usually 6. Some planetary cards can be 9, I think. So these development cards, they give boosts into your imperium. They might make it easier to trade, or they might modify the cost of the planets or other development cards. Your bonus here in this phase is -1 to the cost. So if you selected this phase, you can place your development card with a 1 point cheaper. Also worth noting is that you don't have to play the explore or develop phase if you don't want to. If you don't have a card that you want to play, you can just skip it. Same with the next phase, settle. You can skip this if you have nothing to do or don't want to do anything. So in the settle phase, this is where you grow your empire. You place a planet card in play and again discard the cards from your hand to cover the cost of the card. The exception is that there's military planets that you have to conquer. Every imperium has a military score that starts from the 0, and you can raise it by placing development cards or another planetary cards. And to conquer the military planet, you have to have a military score equal or higher than the cost of the military planet. You don't have to discard any cards in this case. I have found that this is one good way of winning the game. You just focus solely on the military, try to build up as good military as possible, and try to conquer as expensive planets as possible, because they're worth more in the game. There's also a card that give you points for extra points for every military planet you have, or extra points based on the military score you have. The bonus here is that if you place the windfall planet, you produce on that one. You take a card and place it on top of that windfall planet as a marker. This represents that some planets have free resources that you can use as soon as you conquer them or settle them. The next phase is consume. This is one that you have to play. If you can consume, then you have to consume. You don't have an option. And here, the idea is that some of your planets have resources on them, and some other cards allow you to trade those resources into the victory points. And the bonus here is that you can trade one good card for 2 to 5 cards that you can pick and place in your hand, or you can gain twice the victory points. And this is another way to the victory. You build a empire that has a decent amount of planets that can produce and decent amount of cards that can consume, and you keep cycling the consume and produce cycle. The next phase is the produce that I mentioned. Here you produce on regular planets. Most of the planets have a resource on them that you can produce, and you just take a card from the deck, place it on that planet as a marker that there's a goods ready there. The bonus here is that you can, if you have a windfall planet, you can take one. You can produce on one windfall planet. You cannot normally produce on multiple windfall planets. There's a card that can modify this rule. And that's the turn sequence. You repeat this until one of the empires is 12 cards big, and or if the victory points tokens run out, either one. And after that, you tally up the score. It's basically the cards on the table, cards in the hand, and the victory points that you earned. And the player with the most points wins. And as you notice, there isn't much you can do to other players in this game. You're basically focusing only on your empire and trying to grow it in a way that earns most victory points. So the special rules are actually the thing that brings the salt to the game. There's lots and lots and lots of cards that have special rules, and you have to have them in the play to them to have an effect. They might allow you to draw extra cards, trade goods on the planets, add up on your military score, settle your planets for cheaper. There's one card that you, I think it's a colony ship, you just discard that card and you can settle any planet, no matter cost, with 2 rules. It cannot be a military planet, and it cannot be an alien planet. And some cards modify your empire limit. You might have a limit of 14 in the game. Or you can produce on a windfall planet after discarding a card, and so on and so on. So learning what cards are actually in the deck is one important part of the game. So some examples of the cards. There's a Star Nomad Raiders. This is a military 2 planet that is worth one victory point. So, relatively easy to conquer, not worth much, but it adds one to your military. And also, if you are trading goods on any planet, you get two additional cards. So, terraforming robots is another example. This is a development with cost of 3 that is worth 2 victory points. But this allows you to draw one card after placing a word or after settling a word. So it's a nice way of getting some cards back after settling a place. And it allows you to discard one rare element's goods to gain one card and one victory point. So when you are trading rare elements on this planet, you get one victory point and you get extra card in your hand. Public works is another example. This is a development, cost of 1, worth of 1 victory point. And you get to draw one card after placing a development. And you can also discard one good to gain one victory point during the trading phase. So the terraforming robots and public works are cards that work well in the beginning of the game. There's some expansions to the game, of course. The gathering of storm is the first one. It adds goals into the game. I mean, all expansions add extra cards, but in addition to that, this one adds goals into the game. So there's things like first player to achieve some situation, condition, or the player who has most of something triggers the goal and gives you an extra victory points. It also adds additional players, so you can have 5 players to play. Rebel versus Imperium is the second extension. It adds a solo play that I haven't actually done. And it adds the takeover mechanics. So if you have a strong military, you can conquer planets from other players' Imperium. This is I'm a bit conflicted about this rule. Some players think that it adds nice strategy in the game, but I like the aspect of building your own empire without worrying what other empires are doing. Third one, Brink of War, adds even more mechanics. It is a prestige. So prestige counts as a victory points in the end, but also you can use it to perform actions. And this one requires the 2 previous expansions. So some actions you can perform are, for example, you have to pay a prestige, and then you can, during the first phase, where the explore phase, you can actually say that I want to find a military planet that has a military score of at least 6. And then you can just go through the deck until you find a planet that satisfies this condition. Alien Artifacts. This is an extension that is not in the computer version of the game. I don't know why. I haven't played that also. And this is incompatible with the previous expansions. So if you play with this one, you cannot use any other expansions. It adds lots of new cards, and in addition, it adds 49 cards that represent alien orb that you can explore. And it changes the game that now during your play, you can either try to build a bigger empire, or you can explore that mystical orb, alien orb. But I haven't played that. I don't know much about this expansion, so I cannot comment much about it. So in the end, it's a fun and quick game. The computer version tends to be over in a 10 minutes usually. When you're playing with the people, with the real cards, it takes a little bit longer. And like I said, every player concentrates on their own Imperium. Some people find this, they don't like this aspect, but I like it, that aspect. And cards can be really dense with information. With the computer version, it's nice that they added an extra pop-up text that explains what this card does. But in real cards, there is no such an explanation. There's just symbols, and you have to understand what those symbols mean. And sometimes it can be a bit, it might take a little bit time before you remember all those symbols. I have recorded a video of myself playing this game. There's a link to that video in the show notes. And it's in a PeerTube. And for some reason, nobody can follow me outside of that instance. I don't know what's the reason for that. So if you have any questions, comments or feedback, you can contact me at tuturto@mastodon.art. Or even better, you can record your own episode. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.